Thank you for tuning in to the Broker to Broker podcast. We'd also like to thank our sponsors of today's episode, CF Wholesale. If you'd like to learn more about them, please email partnerships@aimgroup.com. Welcome to Broker, brought to you by AIM, the Association of Independent Mortgage Experts. This podcast is all about real talk, one broker to another. You might notice we sound a little different. We are keeping things rolling during quarantine and recording virtually. So tune in, enjoy the show, and stay healthy. I'm your host, JP Hussey of the Hussey Team Mortgage Advisors. We are still virtual. We're still in this pandemic. I got my boy today, Jason Erickson, Barrett Financial Group. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up, buddy? Appreciate you having me. I've been pretty excited to get on here.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time. I know everyone's busy. I'm sure you have no one calling you about refis right now. I'm sure purchase is just dead, right?
Yep, horrible time to be a mortgage broker. Just don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, right? And that's something we'll get into, man. I mean, in this crazy world of mortgages, is great, but you got to keep your mindset there too, right? You have a team that you run. I mean, you could quickly drop out of that, man. You could look at this as overwhelming, right? Which we all go through. I get it. But, hey, man, we're also lucky to have quote-unquote jobs right now and making some money and helping people out. So it's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. If you would have told me that like anyone else, I'm sure then in a midst of a pandemic, I'm already like pretty much reaching last year's numbers. I would have been like, yeah, right. You know, super fortunate, you know, with everyone else, you know, several people losing jobs or furloughed, that we have the ability to still crank it out.
So, damn right. Damn right. Blessed. About you. So you're an LO or even like a manager, right? Like you have a team, right? At Barrett.
I consider myself an LO. I do have a team. I've got five juniors on me, under me. But I've been at Barrett for since what, about 07. So, pretty large company. I mean, I think we have about 150 LOs, but the thing I love about it is the, freedom. I essentially have my ability to kind of run my own, you know, business or brokerage inside of Barrett, you know, without all the additional liability of, you know, being an owner.
So what, do you run a P&L too, or how's that work?
No, I mean, it's kind of, I guess you'd say a mini P&L, you know. We just, I have designated splits with my, members of my team. And then the, you know, compensation is just set. So.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So it's pretty simple. That's really what you need.
And that's the thing. It's so simple. So that's good.
Trust me, man. I battled every day. So I own our brokerage. We've been in business 2 years. We're a small, lean, local shop, and I'm the main producer, right? So it's a lot, man. It's a lot of flexibility and P&Ls and expenses and this or that. No, hosting a podcast, doing it all, you know?
That's a full-time job on its own, I know.
I got you. And then I decided now I'm head coaching a travel baseball team for 9-year-olds. So why not just add it on?
You're not too busy, right?
Well, let's get to know you a little bit more about your journey in the industry. I know you said you were with Barrett since 07, right?
Right.
But when did you get into the industry, or was that when you started?
No, I started in probably right around 02, I was in the health club industry prior to that. And I'd see all these people, you know, coming into my gym midday, working out, you know, on their phones and stuff. And I'm just like, wait, what do you do? You know, here I'm pushing 60, 70 hours a week as a general manager. And I'm just like, I need to get into, you know, business where I'm kind of working for myself and have the flexibility, you know, and also be compensated as well accordingly.
So who got you in? Like, who'd you meet? Because no one says they want to go into mortgages. It never happens.
Right. Like, I met this gentleman and his wife. They were in there quite often. And, you know, I'm just like, I got to get in this, you know. And to be honest with you, right when I first got into it, you know, I kind of got my ass kicked, you know, excuse my language. But I thought, okay, great. Came from working like 60, 70 hours a week. And I'm like, oh, great. I'm golfing, you know, loving life. And bam. You know, it was a rude awakening. So I realized that, you know, although we have all this flexibility, you know, you still got to be, you know, dialed in and pushing those hours, you know.
Yeah.
So got my ass kicked for a while, went and worked retail for retail for a lender that lasted about a month or two. And I said, you know what, I'm going back to the broker channel. So, and it's been just kind of full speed ahead ever since. I mean, we've all had our hiccups, you know, with the market, but right now is an awesome time. So.
Yeah, no doubt. So, all right. So Barrett 07. So you went to them when things were starting to get weird, right?
Yep. It started to get kind of chaotic, you know, and, was with Barrett, and then actually the owner, when I want to say maybe about, you know, maybe about what, 9 or 10, he elected to, for all his employees to go in onto a Fed Charter branch or bank.
Okay.
So kind of got stuck doing that. It was Arizona just got crushed, like many markets, Arizona especially. So we took the fishing from a bigger pond approach. So we worked for a Fed Chartered bank where we can lend all over the country. And, you know, then I kind of got stuck doing that for a couple years. And then Barrett went back to opening their shop again. And then, you know, I just had to kind of, I'd say, close out my pipeline for a couple years and then came back to them. So,
okay.
That was about what, 12 maybe? So maybe he had about a 2-year break of doing the retail, 2-3 year break, maybe.
Okay. Now, how are you guys set up now? Do you guys, are you guys delegated, or how's it work? Do you guys have a line of credit? How's Barrett work? Just curious.
You know, we're a full broker, but we also have the ability to go with the correspondent as well too.
Okay. So you have both there. Cool.
Yep. So we go correspondent. The, you know, we were having issues with the purchasing of loans when things started getting hectic. So I've been leaning more towards the broker side and not going correspondent lately.
Nice. Cool, man. Cool. And then I guess right now, how much volume are you guys doing? I mean, we can do it on a unit basis, 'cause everywhere is different, right? You're out in Arizona. So what, how many units you guys doing per year, per month? Where are you guys at?
So last year, Barrett in general.
Well, just you.
Me personally last year, probably for like 9 of the months last year, I was a one-man show. Before I started bringing on support staff, that's the beauty of UWM. I was just running processor assist, one-man show most of the year, and I did about 80 units last year.
Okay, so nice.
Brought on a junior midway through the year, kind of a junior assistant, and then later in the year, I brought on my own processor, and she's just been amazing. So actually, met her at a UWM AIM event, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And she said she was familiar with UWM, and I'm like, all right, let's go. Let's start. You know, you're on.
Yeah, so. It is pretty cool what AIM's doing in terms of, I mean, they're just constantly just providing this certain value. I mean, you found your processor at an AIM event, you know. I mean, it's huge, man, because you can sometimes feel pretty lost in this industry, especially, you know, one-man show. You just don't know where to go sometimes, you know, or you could throw something out, have a flood of people coming in. Who do you choose, you know? Right. So I really do think as AIM to grow, it's helped me out, and obviously it's helped you out too.
It's amazing. I can't thank AIM enough, you know. So it's they've been amazing. I wish that these type of support was available, you know, when things were really, you know, bottoming out, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Like cool. It's great to have an advocate like that. So
yeah, you know, it's huge.
Yeah, back to sorry, I'm flying on the caffeine.
No, so I love it, man.
Reel me in a little bit. This year, I'm already. Yeah, I let my for motivational purposes. I let my juniors, they're licensed. They get their own numbers, so I don't really like other teams just throw all the numbers on me. They do their own production, their own goals. So myself this year, I'm already at like by the end of this month, I'll have crushed last year's numbers.
Nice.
So I think I'm right about that right now. So I'm about actually like 72.
Yeah, you're seeing that a lot, man. People are halfway through the year already hitting their numbers, man. It's great.
Right. Mid-pandemic, I know.
Yeah. So how is the structure then for your team right now? You're obviously the main LO you're selling, right?
Right.
And you have your processor who you hired. But then you have these other guys on your team or girls on your team that are assisting you on the front end as well with the LOAs type deal. Like, how's that work out?
Yeah. So essentially, you know, they're out there marketing. They're out there kind of almost like a business development role. So it's kind of like they're, I mean, they are their own LO, but they just have me kind of to look over everything, make sure everything's accurate, you know, give them the type of, you know, education that they can't pay for anywhere, you know? And, you know, had I, when I first started, had someone to kind of like be my safety net as I'm out there selling, you know, the skies could have been the limit. So that's what's awesome for them, and they're achieving, you know, amazing success already. So
nice, man. That's awesome.
So if they need that second voice, you know, like if it's a newer one and they need that second voice on the phone with the client just to, you know, establish some credibility, you know, that's I'm there for that.
Yeah, sometimes
pricing.
Like, so my brother works for me. He's licensed loan officer, he's kind of like my LOA, he's like the head of production, right? It gets little pieces of everything. But like we've talked about, sometimes it's just better to have that other voice because you, I mean, you're a relationship guy too. Sometimes you just get too deep with the client, you know, and which is good. You want to go that deep, but sometimes it's good having that extra voice just to kind of have it, you know, see it a different way sometimes. So yeah. I totally agree with that. That's great.
No, absolutely. That's, and it's just, you know, when the, can I take 2 seconds to shut these dogs
down? Yeah, man, I love it.
I'm sorry, bro. Just a second.
I'm putting out a fire, too. I just spoke to my bro. I'm like, yo, can you call this client?
Handle this. Yeah, luckily I'm not blowing up here.
I love it, man. That's real stuff right there, man. I think it's great.
So in sales or relationships, it's also, you know, I'm a chameleon. So I like to think I can relate to just about anyone. But, you know, that's the beauty of having a team like I do because – you know, different personality types match a little bit better. So for example, I might have Johnny, you know, work with one realtor, you know, where he's just a perfect match. And then Rachel work with another one, you know, or Isaac, Sammy, whoever. So.
Yeah, no, it's very important, man. Every client's different. Every client has a specific situation, a specific game plan, a different game plan. It's just smart to have that team, especially when you're trying to do volume and reach that new goal like you guys are doing. I mean, it makes total sense.
Yeah, and a lot of agents just love that team aspect. You know what I mean? When it's just you, they get a little worried. You know, if you're like, oh yeah, my team, they're just, their eyes light up. Oh, team? Whoa, okay. So that helps.
A lot of those, the realtor teams, they have them too, man. I mean, if we can kind of set up what they've kind of built, right? Like,
they
have a transaction coordinator, they have an assistant here, and they have these small teams, they like that and can respect it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, let's talk about the fun stuff now because we got some of the boring stuff out of the way, right?
Yep, right.
So when we spoke yesterday, we were speaking a bit about the marketing aspect. And the big thing for you that you've really done the past few years, right, is social media. Everyone obviously is on that right now. But when we were speaking yesterday, we were talking about how we go a bit deeper with clients, right? So can you really touch on how you're using social media right now? Is it Facebook? Is it Instagram? And kind of what you're doing there to get that engagement. And I'm sure that's probably the biggest part of your marketing right now.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, coming from a past where I've even paid for leads, dumped tons into marketing to be able to generate this all organically without spending anything, it's just nuts. You know, I could have never imagined it. You know, and especially when we got a product right now with the Conquest, I mean, it's just talk about a referral magnet. It just drives so much business. It's like, I'm sure many LOs, you know, can't keep up. It's just crazy right now.
Yeah.
But social media, been doing this probably about just over 2 years and being extremely new to it, like to think I'm, you know, pretty private, you know, it was kind of a big leap. You know, it's like, whoa, I'm not. Expose, share all this stuff. And the thing I do about with my Facebook or Instagram is it's not just business, you know, it's not just dumping or spoon feeding mortgages at people. It's actually, you know, opening up personally, you know, engaging, you know, trying to just be 100% transparent who you are, you know. I think when I first started it, you know, like I was telling you yesterday, it was my main, you know, I was trying to get everyone to like me, you know, and then I started realizing, hey, you're not being 100% yourself. So be yourself. You know what? If you're out, you know, at a happy hour grabbing beers or whatever you're doing, you know, out playing sports, just be as true to yourself as you are. And then you might lose some people along the way, but the people that are with you love you. So instead of having everyone like me, I just want a smaller percentage to love me, follow me, engage.
Yeah, especially in today's world where, I mean, it's tough sometimes with a transaction. You want the people to gel with you. You can't, right. We all, I'm sure in your pipeline right now, you might have one or two. It's just not gelling with. You're trying to figure it out. Maybe you have one of your LOAs jump on that and like we talked about, give another perspective of it. But it's so important to, you hear it all the time, work with people that like you and you work well with. Same goes with real estate agents, right? I mean, clients are really, you have to, right?
Oh, so, absolutely.
So in terms of, because I do a lot like you do, a lot of personal. So if you could give a percentage of how much personal you put out there versus business, how what would you say?
I'd probably say, you know, I think, you know, it's obviously going to depend on, you know, the busyness and so forth and what's going on. You know, when the pandemic first hit, you know, I was popping a video a day, mortgage related. You know, when it first hit quarantine, we didn't know what was going on. So as much education as I could provide to my real estate partners, or not even people that use me, just anyone, if I could provide a resource as, you know, as things were pretty much almost potentially imploding, some people, my people might think, but I was doing maybe one a day, a video, like market update, you know, quarantine day one, two, three, I don't even remember how many days. I think I went to like 20 some days.
Cool. But,
usually I'd say maybe like 3 to 4 personal things a week. And then I'll dabble in, you know, maybe like every other day business related.
Okay.
Stories. I mean, UWM makes it amazing. So I do quite a bit of my stories on Instagram and Facebook. Those little clear to close in X amount of days. Amazing. The feedback I get off of those is just insane.
Okay.
So, when they send you the little alert, you know, clear to close in 5 days, I pop that another one, you know, and then I'll tag my team members, et cetera. So,
okay. Yeah. So you're doing probably the stories are one thing, but in terms of posting, you're really going more of the personal side, right? Because, and then sprinkling in the business, that's kind of what we do, right?
Yep,
so I'm showing who I am as a person. I have 3 kids, like, yo, here's my 9-year-old doing something stupid. You know, it's funny, kind of making fun of them, showing who I am. Because in today's world, people want everything now. I get it. But they also need someone that they feel comfortable with because we're getting real deep with finances. People have just changed over the years.
Right. So the relatability, they see you, they like, oh, he's a cool guy. Kind of see myself in him. You know, he coaches baseball, does this, does that. You know, they can relate and they're going to like you. You know, you years ago, not to date myself, but you – biggest critical element of sales was sitting down and developing that rapport, not trying to sell, but like develop that rapport with them. Now you're developing the rapport before they even come to you for business. So that's what's huge. And the more you can lay yourself out there, you know, it's almost like a leap of faith. You know, you're nervous, but I mean, it's just putting yourself out there. You know, when I first started, I was also focused on likes. You know, like, oh, how many people like that? Should I take it down? Doesn't look like it's really popping.
It.
No, they're seeing it. Okay, whether they're liking it or commenting, they're seeing it. You know, and then once I started realizing that, it was just like, just keep going. And now it goes a little crazy, but, you know, it's there. You know, like I was telling you. Oh, go ahead.
No. So in some of your posts, right? All right, so you put up a post, people start liking, they start commenting, right? Now there's even a whole another dynamic, right? You're going into them, responding to comments and building the rapport there. There's one thing about posting something, right?
Right.
I call that almost like personalized automation. You have your 3 or 4 a week. It's kind of automated. You're coming up with content, which we'll talk about. You're throwing it out there. That's the first part of engagement. Then people engage with you. Now, what are you doing once they start commenting?
Right. Oh, that's free. You're begging for that. That when you're posting something, that's what you're wanting. And I'll have to tell some of my team, I'll be like, Rachel, people are commenting on your stuff. That's what you're wanting when you post. You got to get back and fire back. And, you know, that's the best thing that we do and other fellow brokers, you know, that are also active in the Brokers Are Better community. We all like hype each other, you know, so someone's dropping like a clear to close in 5 days. I might have several Barrett people playing, saying, hey, great job, you know, and my team members all about commenting, you know, but when I'm posting something, I'm dying, begging, waiting for someone to comment, like a realtor. So then that's my, you know, opportunity to say, oh, okay, you're listening. Now I'm going to, you know, really get deeper with it. So we even had a funny thing, like one of my buddies at Barrett, you know, dropped one of the UWM, you know, clear to close in like 12 days thing. And then you had about five other of us, you know, just not hating, but being funny, like, oh,
yeah, of course,
I'll see your 7 day. Here's a 5 day, you know, and then got it all the way down to like 3 days with all our different posts on there. So
got it. Now, are you tracking like what leads come from social media? Is there a way? I'm not really doing it. It's kind of, I'm getting hit from all angles, but have you ever tried to track that at all?
No, I mean, I really haven't, but if I look at it and see, you know, right now I was telling my team, because, you know, I'm really trying that to get them to do it more. You know, they're coming out of their shell. They're doing it. One of my juniors, Johnny, he's wasn't really doing it quite as much. He's like, yeah, well, you know, you're different. You know, most of my friends and stuff, you know, they're not as active refinancing or buying. And I'm like, okay, dude, whatever. He started doing his stories about his success, clear to close, et cetera, blowing up. So I'd say as a team collectively, we're probably bringing in about four to five leads a day. That's off crazy. Of our posts and stories. So,
and all free, man. You see them out there, man. How many times you get hit from lead companies? Like, oh, we can generate this, generate that. I tested that a couple years ago. Unless you have this huge company, this huge team, it's probably not best for you, right?
No.
You have to be that true, organic, getting out there. It's like what we did before social media. You had to get out. You had to go meet people in the local area. You had to go meet realtors, which right now it's very tough to do. But it's the same thing just on social media. Like, I think people have a tough time breaking that in their mind, right?
Right. Right now we're actually doing the mixers right there on your phone while you're chilling on your couch watching a game, or at least when we had sports, you can sit there and just, you're at your mixer while you're doing whatever. So you were virtually connecting with these people.
Yeah, it's like a giant billboard almost for yourself. Amazing. Right now. Like, you still see some billboards, but now it's just plastered on the web. Everyone has their phone in their hand, right?
Right.
Let's face it, people are addicted to it. So you might as well be there.
And I think my most effective, you know, tool I do is when I have a closing, you know, I get the picture of the customer signing, and then, you know, I'll drop the UWM, you know, clear to close in 10 days right next to it. And I tell a story, though, you know, not just I look at my customers, I'll tell the story. And as I was telling you yesterday, even if it's a, you know, shitty story, excuse my language, but if it's a deal that went sideways, you know, I'm still going to be 100% transparent. You know what? It's not always rainbows and unicorns. This happened, but this is how we got around it. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't quit. We're going to keep plugging away for our customers. We know our guidelines, and we're going to find solutions. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I'll always hype up the partners as well, too. You know, they really get juiced up when you're like, oh, you know, Susie did an awesome job negotiating on this one, like always, you know, and then they're like, they're dying to hurry up and close ones with you so they can get in on your posts.
Yeah, so, it spreads like wildfire, man. I get it.
Oh.
I think it's really important what you said there is, I mean, Instagram, Facebook, it's usually a highlight reel, right?
Right.
That's what it is. It's like the top 10 on ESPN or whatever, right?
Right.
What you're saying is, dude, talk about, go deeper, be even more authentic and say, this was a tough deal. Here's what happened. You know, we went through some pain, but we figured out how to get it done, because that's what happens right now in the industry. I'm literally putting out a fire right now. I'm talking to Nick. I'm like, I just text him. I'm like, yo, you got to handle this. You know, it's like, that's what happens. Like,
oh yeah.
People need to understand that, because that's going to be better for the industry too.
And it makes you
issues, but it's going to be better for it.
And it makes you real, you know, when people realize it. Like, when you're out marketing agents, anyone can walk in there and be like, you know, rainbows and unicorns. I can do this. I do that. I do this. They want to know, like, who's going to work for them, for their clients, for their commissions, you know, when shit's getting real. Like, who's going to buckle in, you know, and put in countless hours to make sure that they deliver, you know. So seeing that and then having your customer follow up, oh, thank you so much, or, you know, having your realtor, you know, comment, yes, Jason, you did such an awesome job, thanks for not giving up on this one. That is priceless. You can put a dollar amount on what you would pay for that kind of marketing.
No doubt.
So
Yeah, and to get back to your, like, you were talking about one of your LOs kind of being apprehensive about starting, right?
Right.
Like, what's the dynamic? Like, if you brought on a new LO tomorrow, right, and they have no leads, they're licensed, they're ready to go, what are you telling them? Like, what's the first step you're telling them to do, whether it's social media or anything? Like, what are you doing there?
Right. It's, in that instance, it's just like, you know, it's just not essentially door knocking, but virtually, just go meet people. Get engaged, like their posts, add content, just work it. You know what I mean? It's not hit the streets, but, you know, hit your phone. And in those instances, you know, it's not misleading, but when someone's new and they're talking to an agent, you know, you don't really show you're new. I'm not going to say I fake it till I make it, but, you know, if someone asks, like, Rachel, how long have you been doing this? You know, my team's got over 20 years of experience. The answer. We've been doing this. We. So then they're not going to just associate it with you being a new green LO. You know, they're going to say they're going to see the team. They're going to see the support and so forth. But yeah, it's just, you know, the hardest part. And I tell them to share my stuff. You know what I mean? We closed this. We did that. No one knows the difference, you know, and they're attributing it to the team. So, you know, if they don't have a bunch of closings, you know, they're sharing my clear to close in 5 days. You know, we did this, we did that. And one thing that, I mean, you can train guidelines, you can teach guidelines, you can teach how to run systems and technology, but you can't like create hustle.
No.
You know, so that's what I look for. I look for people that are hustling, you know, whatever type of commodity we're selling, they're universally, they're going to hustle, you know? So that's the thing I like, people that are going to hustle, you know, engage and ask for business. And it helps me as well too. Like Johnny, who I was saying, who just started posting the stories, you know, he steps it up even more, which I don't do enough in my posts, is he's asking for business, you know, not just saying, hey, look at me, I did this.
Yeah.
Then he drops, why aren't you contacting me? You know,
I like that. It's bold.
It's, yeah. So I'm learning from them as well too. So, go ahead, man. I'm rambling.
No. I mean, this is great stuff, man. I'm the same way. I get excited over it. So let's keep going. But that's cool. I love how intertwined everything is. It's, yes, you're the leader of this team, but you're humble enough to say, hey, I'm learning from you. It's a we thing here. We have to be in this together because you've done it for so long on your own, like I did too. You're like, yeah, it doesn't work the best. You're gonna get burned out there, you know. We have to have a we mentality. That's great, man. I love it.
And it's a good mindset, I think. Mindset too with leadership. It's like, you know, what maybe in our today's society or forever, people just want to, you know, hype themselves, you know, and look for that. But if you make it about your partners, your team. People see that. They know who's, you know, leading the train or, you know, leading the pull in the carriage, but you don't have to tell everyone that. You know, you can just make it about your team, make it about your clients, you know, make it about that instead of I did this.
Yep.
You know,
I totally agree with that. We
it's huge.
The post, man. There's I'll see it in other groups where they'll screenshot, let's not pick on realtors too much, but I will right now, a screenshot of what, like, I made this top 10%. I. Hey, and I'm just being real. People are going to screenshot that and talk behind your back because it looks kind of selfish. Talk about your team. Yes, you're an integral part. Of course you were. But let's talk about the team because really you can't get anywhere without support right now. You just
can't. Right, absolutely. I mean, and just a thing, I probably drop maybe like once a month, I drop like a thank you post or story for all my partners, you know, just thanking them, all my repeat clients, everyone, letting them know that they're a critical part, you know, of my success. And just keeping things positive. I found that positivity attracts so much more than negative, especially in a forum like Facebook right now. I mean, it's so negative.
Really,
you're that ray of light of positivity. You know, it's people all the time. I mean, I'm getting.
So are you, and I do this, because when I start getting social media, I have like a top 10 thing what to do on social media. And a couple of them is don't talk politics, right? Don't talk religion. I mean, I get it, right? You know, be who you are. But if you're using this as being positive and trying to, you know, have a wide net here, you want to maybe stay away from that, especially now because you can cut your group in half.
Oh, right. Immediately. And it just, it doesn't even need to be, because if you're talking to that person, you might philosophically disagree on a couple things, but that doesn't mean we still can't do business together. 100%. You know, and it's not being fake. I mean, some areas I'll skirt into that little gray area if something really messed up happens, you know, because I want to keep it 100% unfiltered.
Right.
But yeah, absolutely. Like anything at a party, you never want to talk politics or religion with people.
You want to be careful there, especially in today's world, because hey, you're out here trying to form positive relationships. And if you ever speak to a life coach or anything like that, it is about positivity and respecting the other person's opinion. But be careful. You don't always have to do that. You know?
Right. I think we're caught in such a I'm right, I'm going to make you believe what I think, you know, society right now. And if you can provide that ray of light of positivity, you know, you're going to get so many people. I mean, I dropped a post last week and I probably had about 5 people message me and say, hey, you're so positive and motivating. You know, I really appreciate it. I mean, we're not even talking business, you know, now when it's time to slide the business in, I mean, that's a customer right there. So yeah,
it's pretty easy to have that slide in once you form a relationship. It's like anything else, really. All right. So now that, you know, you guys are killing it, leads are coming in, like you said, maybe 4 or 5 a day even, right? That's going to present some challenges, right? Just from a volume aspect, right? So can we dive deep kind of into what you guys are using in terms of technology and how your process flow is, even from the beginning, the point of sale? Like, what are you using there?
You know, the probably the one thing that I could really start using, as we discussed yesterday, was the CRM. You know, I'm kind of old school. If you can see all these papers I have here, it's like probably lose your mind. But you know what, basically when we start the application, I use Blink quite a bit.
Okay.
For my application right there, and then pull it into Point. From that point, I use Flowify to collect all the documents, which to me has been game changing. I've been on Flowify for about maybe 6 months, 6, 7 months. And like, why wasn't I doing this way before? So super easy with the Flowify. Trying to think, and most else, everything else I use is for generating new business, essentially.
We got Homebot. Did you say you had Homebot?
Use Homebot. Love Homebot. Been on that for a couple months right now, and actually just picked up 2 new leads or 2 refi opportunities yesterday from it after we spoke. Crazy. Nice. So Homebot's been awesome. Love that tool. I said for Nestablish, we use Nestablish for my prequals.
Okay.
So I just pre-populate all the parameters, and then my agent partners can generate their own prequals and loan status reports.
Cool.
What else are we using? BombBomb. Videos are awesome. You know, we have the little milestones on my videos, you know, so once, you know, the file's submitted to underwriting, they receive a video. I even told you yesterday when we do the clear to close, you know, I'm just popping a bottle of champagne. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. You're clear to close.
Over and over too, right?
Right. They don't know that's not their bottle. And that bottle's been used on several other people.
But that'll start a trend too. People will start seeing that more and they know, like, I can't wait to see that bottle be popped. That same for me this time. I think that's great, man.
Yeah. Trying to think what else we're using.
But that's kind of low. What were we going to say?
Reach 150 as well. Reach 150 is where I just can request referrals and I can request recommendations. Looks great. Comes as a separate email to the borrower. They can write a little review on you and then you can publish that in any one of Twitter, Facebook, Google, wherever you want to post it. But those look great because it's coming directly from the borrower. And then you just share it on Facebook and it'll show, you know, it'll say, you know, JP recommends Jason with Barrett Financial and then whatever they want to say about me or my team. So.
And that can shoot to all different platforms to kind of cast that wide net and show true results now too.
Right. Exactly.
All right, cool. So if you're going to take us through, here's a good example because I want to show what other people, what you're doing out there to really help other people. So let's say you get a new lead. They text you or email you, right? What's your next step there? Do you have a script kind of lined up to send to the client? Be like, hey, start filling this out. How's that initial setup look?
So what I do, I don't want to, you know, as technology is great, I'm super old school with certain elements. And right now, Yeah, we're in a good situation where, okay, here, 299. I could basically just say, hey, I'm 299, 2999, you know, shoot right. that out everywhere. Probably won't lose too many deals right now. But when you really got to work for deals, you know, you always want to initially make that first phone call. So regardless of what I'm doing, even if I'm not prepared to take the app, or if I have to take an app on like a, you know, bar napkin or something or wherever I'm at, I have that first phone call just to develop the rapport, cool. discuss what they're looking to do, get to know them a little bit, you know, and then I ask them what's easier for them. Would you like me to send you a link where you can apply, or would you like me to take down your information right here?
So what would you say, what are most people going towards right now?
They don't want to talk to me. It's just all about the link, man. Millennials do not want to talk. They just want to fill out your link, upload the docs, and text you for updates, you know. So, okay. But, you know, you can't go back in time. So when I develop that rapport with you, okay, 3 weeks later, if something's going sideways, you know, or you're trying to shop me, we've already had that conversation. If all I've, my whole entire experience with you has been technology-based,
yep.
Mm-hmm. Good luck trying to save that deal. Good luck trying to, you know, calm the situation. So you always want to, I believe, just still have a little bit of old school in you, you know, as you're relying on this technology more and more.
Yeah,
you know?
It's a balance. I totally agree with you. You have to have the rapport. We're even doing, like, I'll just send a video off my iPhone talking about the plan to the client, right?
Okay.
So if they can't talk, I'll send you a video.
Okay.
About your specific situation, then they have that there. And right. that's been killing it, man. Especially now with time is limited. I can at least right. get some things, send them a video, and they at least see my face. That's been working great for me right now if we can't actually set up a phone call. It's really great. Right.
So setting out like a video to them?
Just a text video right off my iPhone or Android, whatever. I think it's just set it up. I'm looking at your file now. Here's what we're saving you. Here's long-term benefit. If this is a refi, of course. You know, you're going to defer a payment, you're going to escrow back. You just kind of simplify it, and then they have that safe. Boom, they can go back to it.
Right, and you're setting the expectation. Yeah, that's – do you use BombBomb as well too? Or
I don't right now. I mean, I'm writing that down, but I've been doing a lot just – here's a
you're already doing it, though, without that channel or without BombBomb. Right. You're already doing it.
I'm already doing it.
But I think that's what I got.
A good specific video that you can do for someone in the beginning if you can't get on the phone. It's been huge for us.
And there's guys that in the office that are actually doing that with BombBomb, the screen share, you know, through their LE.
Okay.
That's amazing. I haven't had the time to quite, you know, dial in and do it yet, but that's huge. If you populate that video showing them what to expect with their LE, the next step, et cetera. So that's awesome.
Cool, man. Yeah, that's one thing that we're doing, and obviously you're doing it as well. All right, cool. So question. So you do you get the application in. Let's say it's a pre-qualification. Right. You're bringing that into Point, right? If they use Blink, right? Bring in a Point, and then that connects with Flowify too, right?
Right.
Okay. Right. And then you're looking it through, maybe you have a convo with the client, and then you're setting them up in that, what was the other one? Extend, was it?
And Establish is where we generate the prequals. Yeah.
Okay. So that's the process flow right there for you for a prequal, right?
Right. Yep. So they're in the driver's seat as well. I can send the invite to them. I send the invite to the agent, and it has the parameters on there. So if I told them they were max qualified for, like, let's just say 340,000 with, you know, $3,000 property taxes, let's say $100 HOA, and they go find something else at like four something, and they're trying to write that offer.
Can't do it.
It blocks it out. It reds it out. So then they have to contact me to see if we can jump it up a little bit.
All right, cool. And that just makes them come back to you anyway, right?
Right, now
you
have exactly.
That relationship. It's all about using technology for them to retouch you, basically. It
pretty much, yeah. Just keep you in front of it. Same thing with HomeBot. I love how HomeBot does that. You know, it's there. It's just pretty much plug and play. I really don't have to do anything. I can scroll through, see who's been active, and then just reach out. You know, it's – so, yeah, it's to keep them continually in front of you. You know, we're relying on you, but making it a little easy for you. But I do always want to talk to the listing agent as well when, you know, we're pre-qualing them. I don't want to, again, like same analogy with the borrower. I don't want to become too technologically advanced where I'm not speaking with agents, you know, because mm-hmm. then you can easily just as easily lose a deal right there by not having that rapport with the agent or listing agent. So yeah. I think in a competitive market like this, you know, that's kind of how I do my whole branding. It's the accessibility, you know, that you'd be surprised. I mean, I work weekends. There you go. Yep. Yeah. So that's how I started out my branding. It's just, you know, being available, you know, that's huge. A lot of people don't answer the phone when a listing agent's calling, you know, that's got to answer your phone out here. It's hard. I mean, Arizona is beautiful year round. So people are out golfing, doing stuff on the weekends. So probably say 50% of the LOs, maybe even a higher percent, don't answer their phone and don't work weekends, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big thing. I mean, obviously, you know Todd Bitter, right? He's out in your
city. Yeah, obviously a legend. Yeah, one amazing.
He's the one. I mean, that's his thing. I think he posted something yesterday. He's like, just pick up your phone. He's like, I just got a deal done. There was multiple offers on the home. I was the only one that picked up. And even we had a 45-day closing. We had to roll that way. They still took it, even though other offers were better because they trusted that I picked up the phone and got it done. Like, just pick up your phone.
Huge. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if you're not answering the phone on that first phone call, you know, the agent's going to be like, I'm not going to be able to get a hold of this guy throughout the transaction. So, yeah, accessibility is huge.
It's huge. So. Yeah, no doubt. All right. So we've already been talking over 30 minutes, man, if you believe that, right? So I always end with a couple questions, right? Hopefully you can answer for us. We touched on the first one a bit with newer LOs, but if you want to kind of sum it up, if you were brand new to the industry or like you did kind of recreating yourself in marketing or whatever in today's mortgage and real estate world, what's something you would tell someone that they can do like right now to start or reestablish themselves?
I'd say, you know, the first, probably just to keep touching on it, the accessibility, you know, just painting that picture. I'm accessible. You know, being available, not being afraid to put in hours. You got to put in hours. You can work smart, you know, and be efficient with it and still have a very good balance and a very nice life in this industry. But, you know, it's putting in the hours and being accessible. Second, I'd say is huge is guidelines. I mean, you got to know your guidelines. I mean, that's something that you can control, knowing guidelines. There's so many LOs that don't know guidelines and potentially lose deals. Mm-hmm. Not knowing, okay, we can add a COBAR or we can omit this liability, or just knowing your guidelines. It makes it easy too with the technology. You can jump on UWM or even Google these days.
And you can Google Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac like right there, no doubt.
So that's huge. Know your guidelines. And just be you, you know, just be authentic and people will see you and trust you, you know?
Yeah. I think that's what it's all about. No one's perfect. Right. But if you can try and figure out a way to get it done and do that authentically, people are going to trust you. It's a team. It's a real team even with the client at that point, which I love.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The partnership for sure.
Yeah. All right. Last question.
Yep.
You've been in the industry since 2002. So you've been in it for a while, 18 years, right? Man,
yep. stress.
That's the mortgage industry, man.
Yep.
Where do you see the industry in the next 3 to 5 years? Whether it's real estate, mortgage as a whole, where do you see it going?
You know, that's a tough question. I mean, if I had that answer, especially this market or the way it goes, probably like mid last year. Or so, you know, early last year, there was, you know, wondering what was going to happen, you know, and so forth. I decided, and my team collectively, we're all about market share. Okay. So we just get it now. Might not make as much, you know, having to go borrow or pay it or whatever, but it's just all about market share. So when the smoke clears, if things do slow down, you at least have new agents you've picked up and referral partners you picked up. So the client acquisition is probably the hugest factor to whatever way this thing goes. The more people you have, you know, in your court or using you, the better. So I think as a originator, a lot of people just, they're chasing the dollars, you know, and the revenue, but they're not thinking big picture, you know? So right now, especially with the conquest, I mean, just bring in deals, close deals, work referrals. So for quite a long time, I've always been purchase-based. I mean, you see so many LOs right now alienating their partners, chasing refis. Mm-hmm. And then when things, if they change and rates do go up, then they're going to be calling on those referral partners again. Hey, how's it going? Remember me? You know, I was the guy who used to use all the time before all the refis happened. Well, it slowed down. How can I get your business back? You know, so purchases are always bread and butter. You're going to have a long career in this industry if you've purchase based. You could probably make shitloads up and down, but you're going to live and die with the market refi based.
Yep. So you're saying, hey, who knows where this industry is going? Yep. Use the technology, but true advisors like yourself are going to last. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think exactly. I don't, you do get a little scared with the automated technology process. Hey, our LO is going to be, you know, extinct. I don't see that happening anytime soon. If there is a larger market share that shifts towards technology, with, you know, bigger banks and not even interacting with LOs, there's still enough of the pie to go around. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah. So I think stay low for a while, man. I think we have a good few years at least. I still,
oh, yeah.
The true advisor, you can't really take that away.
No, just knowing, you know, when stuff goes sideways, who's that person that I can call? Who's going to walk me through this? Who's going to problem solve instead of me trying to rely on like a call center, you know? So
yeah, no doubt, man. I totally agree with you. Well, that's it, man. That was like 50 minutes.
All right. Yeah. Thanks for keeping me reeled in, man. The caffeine's like all over the place.
I love it, dude. Yeah. The dog barking. We're putting out fires. This was as authentic as you can get. I love it.
Yeah. I got like 60 emails now to get on, but it was an awesome. Hey, I appreciate you guys inviting me. Anything that I could ever do in the future too, let me know. Cool, man. I really appreciate everything you guys are doing.
Might be picking your brain at some point, man. No doubt. I'll hit you up on the back end.
All right. Cool, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys. Jason Erickson, Baird Financial. Thanks, man.
All right, thanks.
Later.
Thanks for listening to the Broker to Broker podcast. Make sure to subscribe to our channel so you don't miss a single episode. Head over to aimgroup.com/broker to broker and subscribe on any platform where you listen to podcasts.